So you are ignoring all derivative terms, including curvature terms, connection terms, and so on. I mean, they don't come into the potential. Of course, you can. And if I have a term like that, and I use the equations of motion here. So, for instance, if I have a cosmological constant, then ADS, for example, this would be fixed in terms of the cosmological constant, and then this would appear as a potential term. But that's only if I plug the equation of motion into the action. So what we are computing here is the term in chiral scalars, which is independent of derivatives. So, and for that purpose, we can use this trick of ignoring the curvature and connection terms. Does that answer your question?
But I would hold it up as something to keep in mind that you define a certain thing and you're going to calculate it, but when it comes to studying, I don't know, an inflationary model, it might not be the only terms that are significant or contributing.
Maybe I should come back to this at the end of the lecture when I discuss KKLT. Because the way I looked at the paper of KKL, MMT, they just derived the potential just starting from the standard supergravity action. And then they say, well, we can identify this with a term coming from the conformally coupled scalar. But that's so for instance, I mean, we have this this type of structure for the potential, and so for instance, if there is a supersymmetric minimum where this is zero, then V is which is an ADS minimum. Okay, and then you can argue that. Well, this would be just four, and you can argue that you can get such a term. So they get a mass term, which in this ADS background can be looked at as a conformally coupled scalar. But the potential itself is still, I mean, this is the minimum of the potential, but the potential from which they get this mass term is just this. Let me come back to that when I go through the.
Do you know what the coefficient of these terms is just for the bias symmetry?
For which term?
The conformally coupled scalar. It looks like you might be able to derive it without sort of going to over it.
In KKLMMT, this is obtained by plugging in the effective action, effective superpotential, and then taking this particular form of a scalar potential and so on, and then just computing this potential. Let's get back to that what I was planning to do today is to go through the GKP type instruction on the derivation.
I'm just wondering if this term is forced on you by supersymmetry. By the wire symmetry. Because you know it's conformally coupled scalar for specific coefficients.
Yes.
And you have this bias symmetry to observe.
I don't think that's related. But why don't we defer that till we discuss this here. Anyway, I mean, I just...
Let me throw something else out, maybe this is just going to distract us, but...
Yes.
Could it be that, I mean, in your approach, you insist on going to precisely Einstein frame, is that right? Because if that's the case, I would eliminate a term like that, but it must
So this would be a question of what this case. So the Einstein frame came from the fact that I went to the Einstein frame in order to get rid of the factors of phi and phi bar here. Remember what I had here was minus or plus I guess, k over 3, mm-hmm. right? So these are now just scalar fields, those components of superfields. And then I did redefine this phi by writing this as e to the k by 6. Because I argued that that the original this e, the integral, the superspace integral of e times the e to the minus k by 3. So this is what gave you, so the 1 here gives you the root gr. But then, of course, we have this original term coming from the exponential. So you need to go to the Einstein frame. So you're not doing, so this is not a super, this is not a superfield transformation. This is just, I'm just transforming the scale. I'm just, essentially, it's just redefining the metric. Right. You can think of this piece as some conformal factor in the metric. Right, and you're just, and then going to the Einstein frame. Yes?
When we write a potential implicitly, then my Einstein term is just square root gr.
Yes.
So implicitly, even if in some other, I mean, if I had that term phi squared over 12r,
then I have,
I've eliminated it.
I have eliminated it by going to Einstein frame. Yes.
So it must be hidden somehow.
So it's then, it's somehow hidden in this.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, any term like, so, yeah, sure. I mean, the final answer for the potential I give is in the Einstein frame. So my action, if I write the whole action in components, then this is what I have with no function of scalar fields multiplying it. So it's finally in the Einstein frame. Okay, so what I wanted to go through today is, well, this is really probably some of you are quite familiar with this, but maybe for the students it might be useful to go through this exercise. So what I'm going to talk about today is this construction of a potential and getting this and then massaging that into the supergravity form which we had, which was discussed in this paper of Gideon Spector Polchinski. And then these guys managed to stabilize the complex structure moduli and the dielectron just by turning on fluxes in type 2b. And then this paper by KKRT, Kalashwin and Trivedi, they went on to make some arguments as to how to stabilize the volume modulus or the Kähler moduli in general, and furthermore, how to get the Schlitter space minimum. I will have some comments on all these procedures along the way. More of that maybe tomorrow, but today mostly I will just go through this exercise. So what we are talking about is that to be on some on Calabria Orange Fold with fluxes. So the action here is, so the bosonic, so usually we just write down the bosonic part of the type 2B action in 10 dimensions. So what I'm starting with really is not the full string theory, but the low energy effective 10 dimensional action. So I have a bulk action this term with G times R minus 1 over 2. I'll define these quantities. So, and then so this would be a linear combination of three form fields, and this is a five form field. So that's plus this sort of metric independent term. So that's the usual action, except that I have not imposed the self-duality condition. So we are writing down kinetic term. I'm going to impose the self-duality condition for five forms at the level of equational motion. The tau is defined to be C0 plus e to the minus I phi, where e to the phi is the, well, phi is the dilaton, usual dilaton, and C0 is Ramon-Ramon scalar, which plays the role of an axiom. And the G3 is a linear combination of RR3 form, of the RR3 form, and tau times the NSNS3 form. So the usual F3 is D times C2, H3 is D of C, B3, and the F tilde 5 is D of C4, 5 is D of C4. And it's a linear combination of H3 and of the lower dimensional fluxes, the lower dimensional forms, low rank forms, this one. Okay, so I consider this. So let's. So take a compactification of this to four dimensions on a Calabi-Yau manifold. So if I compactify back to B on a Calabi-Yau manifold, I get n equals 2 supersymmetry. If I want n equals 1, I could do that by compactifying on a Calabi-Yau Orange fold. And then, in order to satisfy that rule, consider cancellations and so on, I have to add either D3 branch or fluxes. I will be adding both. So also add, I can, in with the particular oriented fold projection that they used, you can add both D3 branch and D7 branch. I will just write down explicitly, because I'm just going to give the flavor of all this rather than giving all the details. I'm just at the D3 brain action, which is some local action, local, which is, so I can have some set of D3 brains at different points, Like I love numerical, so basically I have, so here's my 4 3+1 dimensional space, and I have some Calabi-O, and these D3 branch will be points on the Calabi-O manifold. So, and I will just keep the, since I'm just looking for some background solution, I'll just keep for the moment just the tension piece and the charge. So later on, when I want to introduce my perturbative terms, I will introduce also the D7 brain action, and then look at the gauge field term, the gauge field kinetic term coming from there, in order to identify what my gauge field coupling is. But for the moment, let's just take this background action. Okay, so as I said, there's some particular, I don't want to go into the details, but there's some particular Orient-Dufour projection which I can do, which is consistent, which is some consistent projection which leaves me with some D3 and D7 brains. I can bring, so that I have some N equals 1 construction. And then let me just also write down the equations of motion here. So I have Einstein's equation. So I have now that bulk action with this D3 branch. And so I have the 10-dimensional Einstein equation. And I've set 2 kappa 5 squared equal to 2 kappa 10 squared set equal to 1. Okay. And then I have 5 brain. The 5 form equation of motion, or Bianchi identity for the 5 form, which is actually equivalent to its equation of motion because of the self duality condition. So I have. So this is some local term coming. This is some delta function on the 6-dimensional manifold, which is coming from this local action. And I impose this self-duality condition, of course, by hand as usual. Otherwise, I can write down an action. And then dg3 is minus d tau right h3, and then I have some additional equation of motion which I won't be using, so I won't write them down. Okay, so suppose now we dimensionally reduce the equations of motion and of action using a metric ansatz, which DKP used. So you write down ds squared equals some warp factor, which depends on the internal coordinates. So I will take x mu to go from mu. X mu is the coordinate in 4 dimensions. Mu goes from 1 to 3. And ym, with m going from 1 to 6, is the coordinate in 6 dimensions. So it turns out, in general, you have to compactify not on a Calabi-O, but on a space whose metric, which is conformally Calabi-O. So I need, in general, this warp factor. And this structure is dictated by the fact that in the presence of brains, this is would be with this taking a particular form, you get the solution of this form. with this, with the warp factor and inverse, or warp factor and inverse coming in like that. Let me call this G tilde. We try this metric on such, and so the G tilde Mn is supposed to be the metric on the Kalamazov manifold. We look for classical backgrounds which obey Lorentz invariance, and we turn on, so we turn on fluxes in the internal direction. So in other words, we keep these, we turn on fluxes, three-form fluxes, H, MNP, F, and MNP. For the five-form, we take this particular ansatz. This is 1 over factor 4, 1 plus star of root 4 bar of x. And this would be concentrated, right? If looking at flat space. So it satisfies the sense dual. So this is the Hodge dual in 10 dimensions. If you look at, say, the mu nu components of the Einstein equation of this one here, so compute the stress tensor, or this is straightforward.
Yeah. Is it the F5 or the F tilde 5? It's supposed to be self-dual.
Oh, it's...
I mean, you defined F5 just as D is D4.
Yeah, I think it's a table. I have it written as... here in my notes, but I think that's a mistake. Yeah, you're right. This should be a tilde. This should be a tilde. So I write down these equations of motion. I plug this metric concept into this and look at this, and I have R bar mu nu. Let me call this a bar at the moment, because I'm going to define tilde to be some other. E to the 4 omega times del tilde to the squared omega G bar mu nu of x equals minus G mu nu times this G3 mod squared over 48 plus something plus T local. So this immediately tells me from that if I want flat space solutions, so if I set this to zero, I want flat space solution. And this is, well, multiply the whole equation, say, by e to the minus 4 omega, and integrate over the six manifold, which is compact, so this term will vanish, and so this term, which is the sum of positive terms, well, it's the sum of terms here. These two are positive. This may or may not be positive, depending on the tensions of, well, since I have both D planes and I have oriented planes, This tells me that if I did not have oriented four planes, I couldn't satisfy this. I couldn't get a flat solution. because these are positive indefinite, so I need to have some negative tension terms. If I use this ansatz, you get something even worse than that, because you can take the same argument and then, let's say, for instance, take the trace of this and take this same integral, and then you would find that R bar must be necessarily negative. This is a reflection of, I'm sorry, excuse me, I'm jumping ahead of myself. If I use this equation together with the Bianchi identity, this one here. So let me rewrite the Bianchi identity, which using this ansatz that I had. So I use this ansatz and also this definition of the alpha, this ansatz of the F tilde F5, satisfying this subduality condition. You find that you have del squared alpha is some equation like this. Star 6 times, this is D bar, and then PD plus 2 times e to the minus 6 omega D alpha plus some term if you combine these together, you can derive from here an equation like this, which is that this, let's take the trace, it's minus R4, and this becomes but this can be rewritten in the following form. This can be rewritten as del tilde squared times e to the 4 omega minus alpha. And here you get, so this is just from manipulating these equations of motion and just using this ansatz. We get an expression like this, and if you integrate this over the 6 manifold, which is compact, so this vanishes, and then this tells me that R4 is necessarily negative definite. Okay, remember, so I can eliminate, what I've done is to eliminate the local terms which appeared in the previous equation using this equation here. Okay, and if I eliminate the local terms, I get an equation like this, which seems to tell me that minus R bar 4 or plus R bar 4 is negative definite, which means that the potential is negative definite. Now, that of course, that's incorrect, but the reason I got that incorrect answer is because I have ignored time dependence of the moduli, of in particular the volume moduli, the volume modulus in this ansatz here. So this is a reflection of an old result, first proved by Gibbons a long time ago in the '80s, I believe, or mid-'80s, rediscovered by De Witt et al. In the late '80s, and rediscovered again by Maldacena and Nunez in, 98 or 99. And the original statement of this is that if I start with a theory which is which obeys the strong energy condition, which means that R00 of the original, say in this case, 10-dimensional theory is satisfies the strong energy condition, meaning that's less than zero, then the compactified theory is must satisfy the strong energy condition, which effectively means that the potential has to be negative of the power. But it is really applicable only to the minimum of the potential. It's the point is that you are using an ansatz which is a static ansatz, which is what they use in order to do the dimensional reduction, in order to do the compactification. And so this is just a reflection of that. And the way to avoid this is to put in time dependence. So we try then to do a more general ansatz. Incidentally, before I leave that, observe that that it, to get flat space, to get a flat, if the a solution, a static solution of the equations of motion would be where what's in the between the modulus signs or up there, the absolute value signs up there should be zero, which means that you should have G3 equals G3 equals star. So that's a star in six dimensions, sorry. It should satisfy this imaginary dual condition, and that the phi form flux should be related to the walk factor. E to the 4 omega must be equal to alpha at the some constant. With flat space, okay, G minimum equals eta minimum. So let's now, so if you want to derive potential, you might want to do a more general ansatz. The point is that you need to do a consistent reduction, consistent truncation of the 10-dimensional equations to 4 dimensions. So let's try an ansatz like this, where dS squared is e to the minus 6u of x plus where I'm keeping here a factor of e to the 2u, which is essentially a volume modulus, so you can so more generally I would also, so this mn of xy would in general be, well, we can impose some condition on the determinant of that thing that say, for instance, that this is space time independent, and so it's a fixed density independent of space time. You can expand this in so that this e to the 2u then is a factor which tells you how big the internal spaces. And this one that can be expanded in terms of the complex structure and the Taylor deformation in some expansion like this. Okay. Well, these are some harmonic functions on the Calabria manifold. So the size of the radius of the fixed space of the internal space of the Calabria is then e to the u. So I can define some fixed fiducial volume as the integral y of e to the minus 2 omega times g tilde mn, and then this will fix, this will be the radius. Well, it turns out that again, I mean, I think I discussed this briefly last September, but it turns out that even this ansatz is really not adequate. The point is that if you want to have a non-trivial walk factor, and we do. Well, I haven't written down the equation for the walk factor, but which is coming from the middle end components of this equation, of the Einstein equation. From that, I get an equation for the walk factor. It's easy to see that in the presence of fluxes and Lebrange, this walk factor has to be non-trivial. Again, with this kind of ansatz, one can demonstrate that if you ignore Kaluza-Klein modes, and you impose the condition that there is some non-trivial work factor, then these things so everything is consistent if you are at the minimum of a potential, of course, where these things are constant. But if you really want the potential self, you in your truncation, in your ansatz, I argue that you need to keep these space-time dependent, in particular time dependent. But this kind of factorized ansatz doesn't seem to allow you to do that. And it turns out that you really need to keep all Kaluza-Klein modes, including non-diagonal pieces here. So as far as I can see, still there is no really, there is no good derivation of this potential. There is an attempt to overcome some of these problems in a recent paper of Mahalana and of Giddings and Mahalana. Giddings and Mahalana had a recent paper in which they argued that in some approximation you can ignore these Kaluza-Klein modes, but I haven't yet digested that paper, so I can't comment on that. So that was just to indicate the sort of problems that arise when you try to do a consistent truncation and try some metric ansatz and try to figure out what the potential is. But for the rest of this lecture, I'm going to ignore those problems. Yeah?
Even in the last one, you some last problem
Well, No, I mean, the problem is, well, so the volume is u, right? So you're trying to derive a potential for u. So what do you mean by large volume now? I mean, you want to go to large values of u in some sense, right? So in some region where u is
a flat volume, the Bohr factor should
not
demand.
Well, yes, but the point is to argue in some way that so you want to derive a potential for u. Okay,
yep.
So it's a kind of, well, there may be some self-consistent way of doing that, right? In the sense that you argue somehow that you get stabilized at large volume, but this is another problem. Of course, u is free here, right? I mean, ultimately, if I fix the other complex structure moduli, u is free. But if I'm away from the minimum of the complex structure moduli, I have a runaway potential for u, for t, for the volume. So it certainly, you know, likes to run away to infinity large volume if I'm not at the minimum of those other potential. At the minimum, everything is fine. I mean, there is no problem in getting, I mean, so here is the solution at the minimum, right? So here u is constant. It can be any constant, it's not fixed. And the ZA is at the minimum of some potential. But these conditions were derived actually just by looking at the supersymmetric condition, just by looking for one killing spinner on the.
Then the point is it can also be derived from the four dimensional exactly.
What can be derived exactly?
The dimensional.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So you can just by looking at the dimensional supersymmetry variations and looking for, you know, getting one killing spinner, so we have to get n equals one supersymmetric in four dimensions, you can derive those conditions. But those are the conditions at the minimum. Right. So it doesn't tell me what the potential is. So what I'm saying basically is that if you ignore all this, then the expression for the potential is this. So let me just write this down. This is some six-dimensional integral of g tilde 6 of e to the 4 omega y minus 12 u of x divided by 24 times I times I g3 minus star g star 6. G3, I think this is in the tilde metric. Sorry, I mean, this means the Hodge dual in six dimensions, but Hodge dual taken with this tilde metric here. Okay. Square. So the claim is that there are some KK stuff here, additional stuff, which okay, so I mean they also of course go to zero, but this also goes to zero as in the large volume. Right, so the question is whether you can, there is some region of u where you can ignore this but keep this.
But I thought that there is a hierarchy of masses between the masses of the model of the model that you keep with the potential and the closed line scale, that you can separate them if the volume is large enough.
Well, so those are statements about the minima, right? You can make statements about the minimum, right? So once you compactify, you can choose flux or something, right? And then you can, well, so If you are at the minimum, then you have some expressions for the masses of the allegation of the complex structure model, right? And then U is completely arbitrary, so you can take whatever radius you want, right? So you
but
can
make it hard, then it's much lighter.
Yes, you can then, but it's sub-zero mass. The volume has zero mass in this.
No, I'm not talking about the volume, because the complex structure model are much lighter than the complex line.
Yes, yes, you can take the complex structure line masses to be much smaller. Much larger. That's true.
So then, I mean, that doesn't quite fit with this thing you said before. I mean, if you can't really, if you have transmission, ignore them, why don't you just look at the light model?
Well, the question is, the question is not whether I can make the let me write down one more term. I mean, there is, for instance, a term like this here, right? So the alpha minus, something like, I'm not sure exactly, but some term like this, which comes in as well, which is also integrated over d6. This again at, I guess it's like that. This again is zero strictly at a solution when this is equal to that and that is equal to that. But so the question is whether the variation of that. So you want to ignore the log factor, right? You want to ignore the y dependence of the warp factor. What I'm saying is that if in the same approximation where you ignore that, then you have to set the time dependence of these to zero. So if you do that, then you have this problem that there is no consistent way of getting the positive potential. I mean, all I'm saying is things are coupled in such a way that there is no sense in which I can argue that I can ignore all this and just get this.
But you want to argue that at least the mass of one of some modes are much lighter than the other one? So I would have thought that if that's the case, you can ignore the other one.
Maybe, but it's not clear to me that this can be done. I mean, maybe we can take a look at we can take a look at this paper of Giddings and Maharana, where they claim to have found some systematic way in which. They say, I mean, they don't claim to have solved the problem completely, but they seem to make some progress. But it's not that clear cut how to do that. That's the problem.
Is the issue of trying to identify what are the light modes in these answers, or?
What are the large modes and the ansatz?
The ansatz and just turn on the model, right? That is kind of space time. Just
yeah.
What is the action of the energy of the configuration? You should be able to.
Well, yes, but you know, things are coupled. I mean, the problem is that you have this. You have these non-diagonal terms from this metric ansatz by itself. Is inconsistent, I think. Right? So you need to, in order to fully analyze it, So all I'm claiming is that the metric, this metric concept is inconsistent. I think Giddings agrees with that. Okay. So then you have to come up with something more general, and then try to argue that with this something more general, these additional pieces can be ignored compared to that. And this is the sort of, I believe that's the sort of thing that Giddings and Namaran seem to have done, but I don't understand fully what they've done, so I cannot comment, but we can take a look. So anyway, what I was going to do in any case was to ignore it. So then show you that this is of the form of the supergravity action, which I derived yesterday using n equals 1 supergravity. So this can be expressed in the n equals 1 supra form. I claim with a scalar potential which is minus log, so let me change notation slightly. So S is, well, this is more conventional in phenomenology literature to call I times tau S. So that the real part is the dilaton rather than the imaginary part. The imaginary part is an axiom. And then so real part of T is e to the 4u, and the imaginary part I will discuss in a moment. And then I have minus a log of minus I times integral over the Calabria of omega wage omega bar, where omega is the holomorphic tree form on the Calabria. So this is scalar potential which was derived by this is the scalar potential for the complex structure moduli, which is derived in a paper by Gandalas and Diller of 91. Okay, so the claim is that with this k and a w, which is essentially the Gukova-Wetton superpotential, which I think, in as far as I can see, this is the quarter here, but g3 wedge omega, and g3 is defined from there, and omega is 3 polymorphic 3 4. So with this W and that K, this potential should be equal to e to the K times up to some numerical factor, which I have it somewhere, but I don't recall. K and J bar minus 3 W squared. In fact, with this particular form of the scalar potential and the observation that this is independent of the volume modulus T, so this is explicitly dependent on S of the dilaton or tau, because G3 is a linear combination of the two fluxes. It is implicitly dependent on the complex structure moduli because the periods of omega give you coordinates on the space of complex structure moduli. Okay. So what you have, therefore, is a potential for the Z's and for tau, and there is no, well, there is, if you are away from the minimum, there is a runaway potential for T, but this potential is of the no-scale, so-called no-scale type, And the reason is that, so these go over all the fields, all the current scalar fields here. In particular, if you take the dt, you see that the dtw is, well, from the scalar potential, you have, so it's w is independent of t. Remember that dtw is ordinary derivative plus the derivative of k times w, and the derivative of k is minus 3 over t plus t bar times w. And then kij bar is 1 over t plus t bar squared times a 9, sorry, over, actually, no, sorry, yeah, it's 1 over t plus t bar, sorry, t plus t bar squared divided by 3, and you get a factor 3 coming out when you multiply the kij bar with the dw squared, which cancels this. So the t contribution cancels that, and so essentially what, so effectively what you are left with is the e to the k times the dzi w squared plus the ds w squared, where I'm ignoring the inverse metric piece. Okay, so you have a positive definite potential. So how do I see that? Well, so the claim is that the complete the axionic partner of the volume modulus is the following. Let me define it. So S, we have the full superfield for S, or the complex field kind of scalar, which is I times that, so it is C e to the minus phi. I think I defined it to the minus phi times tau. So it is e to the minus phi minus I C zero. The T, which if you look at GKP notation, this is, they call it rho. So my T is minus phi rho. This is e to the 4u minus I B of x. These are functions of x over root 2, where B is defined as the following. So first I look at the four form potential, which is dA2 wedge J2 tilde Y, where this is the Kähler 2 form. On the Calabi-Yau manifold, and then the B is defined to be dB equals e to the 2u times star 4 of dA2. Okay, well, I guess I can go here. I need that stuff. So what I want to show you is that the dimensional reduction using these ansatz of the dimensional reduction of the 10-dimensional action gives you this particular identification of the T. Um, So this is the sketch of this is given in the appendix to GKP. If anybody, I'm not going to go through it in full detail, but if anybody wants the full complete detail, I have it all worked out. If anybody wants to know all the details. So So let's take a look at this term in the action, which is a minus a quarter. So this is coming from the F5 action. So I have a term which is DC4, which, so this is a kinetic term of the action, of the full-form action. And if I write it in terms, if I use these ansatz for that, then I have this equal to minus a quarter times dA2 wedge star 4 dA2 times x of J2 wedge star 6 J2. You can evaluate this guy. So this is can be related to the metric, and it's I times the metric, essentially. This turns out to be minus 3 times integral root. It's up to a factor 3, it's the volume of the Calabi-Yau. Measured in the still the metric. Okay, I should also mention, I'm going to, doing this derivation, I'm going to ignore the work factor. Okay. So.
Do you want to comment on that some more? I was waiting for the work factor to appear, but now you say.
Things become more complicated. Okay, if I keep the work factor, I mean, even apart from, well, of course, if I keep it as a constant, there is really, I think, it's essentially the same derivation. I just have these factors of the work factor coming. If I just ignore all these other complications which I mentioned earlier, and I just want to rewrite that one, I think I can keep the factors of the work factor. And I believe that's essentially what was being done by de Wolf and Giddings. There are some complications, but they're sort of straightforward. I mean, it's still a straightforward calculation. You can keep the work factor. It's as long as you know this kind of problem. So then this becomes. What does this become? So it becomes minus. So then I integrate that when I call that volume. So the metric concept is still the same, except that I'm ignoring the work factor. Okay, so I'm just I'm ignoring this guy. So. So that's my metric factor, and this is just. Oh no, I'm sorry. I should keep the keep these fluctuations of the residue. So this is then e to the 2u times integral over the four manifold of dA2 wedge star dA2. And this can be, so as I said, let me rewrite the dA2 as e to the minus a2 times star tilde dB. I think I've called this, tilde. Then you find that this guy becomes 3 over 4 times V tilde 6 times times e to the minus aq times dB wedge star, this is star 4 tilde dB, which is the same as just before writing it in ordinary notation, 6 times integral. So if I collect, also from the metric term, you have some, just from the curvature piece, just from the four curvature, I have this conformal factor, so I'm going to get some derivative terms for the conformal factor. It turns out, so this is just a matter of plugging it into the metric, into the curvature piece, and then working it out, and you have another piece which is 24 times d mu squared, and collecting these together, you have two kinetic terms, which can be put together plus that, and this can be rewritten as 6 times d mu t tilde squared over t plus t bar squared. And so it's just a matter of algebra. So where t is identified as this combination here. So this is in the form of the sigma model metric, which is what comes in. Well, I didn't talk about the kinetic terms of the chiral scalars, but the kinetic terms of the chiral scalars come like this, where this is, of course, k. Well, I don't know, up to a factor 2 maybe.
So this is just KTT bar times DT. W is of course independent of P, so KT times. So similarly the dilaton piece is already in that form. See that, if I remember, tau I is simply, tau is I times S, so that's S plus S bar squared times ds plus ds bar, ds times ds bar. So I have expressed the...
John?
Yeah.
You had a kinetic term, and then you seemed to write down a potential term. I don't know what happened here. Is that really what you mean?
Sorry, excuse me. This is not working. Thank you.
You just want to.
Yes. Sorry, this is DMU GitHub. Sorry. These should be the right of this. Thank you for all this. So this is basically what people did for the Android Extreme long time ago. It's written 56 or something, or 85. Due to the dimensional reduction of the Android Extreme and of this form for this. And the new element here is this. Is a compact fracture model that is. So what I'm saying is that so far we have evaluated, so far the, from the original 10 dimensional action, we have this piece for dinner run, with the K being derived from for the minus log s plus s bar. So k s s bar is 1 over s plus s bar squared, which is the tau I squared up there. And then you have the minus 3 log t plus t bar. And vp kt t bar will be can be, and the k can be identified from the fact that kdt bar is this guy, which is what you obtain from that reducing the n-dimensional dynamic terms. And then you have the complex structure for this. So let's get that worked out also. So we have so we have so on X we have the following harmonic forms. So we have one zero form, the omega 3,0 form, which is the omega. And then a 0,3 form, which is omega bar. And then you have H21 primitive 2,1 forms. Forms chi alpha, which I will call chi alpha. And primitive means that there are no 1,0 forms. In there, so that Jij bar, so this is the J, remember, is the two form, the inner two form. Chi alpha Kij bar should be 0. And three, you have H12, which is equal to H21. 1,2 forms, which I will call chi bar alpha. And then you have the 0,3 forms. The 0,3 form, which is chi bar. Also, I mentioned this. By star 6, I mean the star is still the space, but we know the distinction. So this is minus I omega, and the star 6 of chi is equal to I times chi. And so the claim is that the Taylor potential is this. So K for the Z is minus log of integer x of omega raised to phi. So here we use this Pythagoras theorem, which is that d omega by d alpha is k alpha. So it's so a deformation of the omega with two pieces, one which is three scales of omega. So it's in a little k zero form plus p one form by alpha. So from this, you take derivatives and you find the alpha of, so alpha is labeled the complex structure model, right? So the alpha of k, of little k, is, sorry, of k, is minus k, little k alpha, and the alpha, the beta bar of the k of z. But this is just this bit here. It's a whole thing also because others are independent of the complex structure. So this is the metric, the alpha beta, which if you work this out, and it's a straightforward exercise, this is just chi alpha which beta bar or bar, which is a natural matrix on the 2-1 forms. Okay? So this guy is to be identified as the Taylor potential. And now let's check that this potential of let me keep that. Now what we need to do is to work out these derivatives using this superpotential and that killer potential and show that that agrees with that formula. And I'm going to ignore, as I said before, I'm going to ignore the ball factor. So now let's expand. So expand the G3 in basis. Well, first of all, remember, so if the ball factor is 0, or 1 rather, if the ball factor is constant, then this is 0, and also dg3 is 0 if tau is constant. Let's assume tau is constant and tau is constant. So then you can expand this in terms of harmonic forms. d3 is a omega plus, so we listed the set of harmonic forms on the manifold, so like this omega bar plus okay? And then if I multiply this by omega bar, then all this vanish, because this is only three zero forms, only thing which will not vanish would be something which is a 0, 0, 3 form, okay? So if I multiply the omega bar and integrate, I can pick up A and so on. So So I have G3 which A is G3 raised to omega bar divided by integral to omega bar, and G tilde beta bar would be, so similarly you can write out the others. So this is that times G3 raised by alpha over integral omega to omega bar. And star 6, so star 6 G3 can be similarly expanded using using these relations there. So star 6 G3 is minus IA times omega plus IB alpha times chi alpha plus I A tilde times omega bar minus I beta tilde bar times chi bar beta bar. Let me define now this linear combination G3 plus, which is half of G3 plus star 6 G3. And that two of these cancel, and this is just A omega plus B tilde bar chi bar tilde bar. And B tilde bar plus would be okay, and so then again, let me work out so what I have there is G3 plus wedge star 6 G3 plus. Okay. I can rewrite that as G3 wedge cross G3 star 6 G3. Okay, that's the same thing. So I rewrite and expand in these basis forms, and then I have found the values of A and B. So so what I get is an integral for x of G3 plus, I mean star 6 G3 plus, which is my form of the potential, is I times G3 raised to omega bar times G3 bar raised to omega plus G alpha beta bar times G3 raised chi times G3 bar raised chi bar alpha and beta bar, okay, divided by omega raised to omega bar. So this I claim is the is in the form of the potential. So what I've done is to to expand the G3 in my forms and rewritten it in this way, rewritten the potential that I got from dimensional reduction in this way. And now if I look at now let me identify this with the potential, the supergravity potential here. with this omega, with this W and that K, I've argued that K comes out from the kinetic terms of the dimensional reduction, and the question is this the correct W? And so you let's work out the, so what you need to do is to work out the Kähler derivatives. So the Kähler derivatives in this case for the complex structure, d r for w and d r for k times w. And these you can work out using this formula here. It becomes, so this is a straightforward exercise. Again, if students are interested in details, this works out to be that. So we've used this relation. The other one is a straightforward exercise. So d tau w is d tau w. Big D tau W is little D tau W times little K times W, and this works out to be what I asked, 1 over pi. Sorry, I used S. So S plus S bar, I may be over here, so I'm changing it. With omega. Okay. Note, by the way, that V R for W equal to zero, and first of all, I said that the potential comes out to be this positive definite form. So the minimum of the potential at V zero is V tau equal V tau W equal zero, and V tau Z W equal to zero. And at that minimum, you see that this has to be zero and that has to be zero. If you look at the expansions of D3, you see that tells you that only the 0, 2, and, so this one, cross chi is 0, so that means that everything else identically vanishes, so this one must vanish, which means that must be 0, and the other one tells you that, G bar times omega, so bar means that is omega bar, so which into omega is zero, others are really zero, so the A should be zero. So this tells me that D3 must be of the form, so the alpha W equals VSW equals zero implies that beta bar equals zero equals k, and which means that d3 plus was for just those two, so d3 plus must be zero, which is this condition that we had that at the minimum it should be imaginary star plural, like d3 must be equal to star 2k. Now if you plug these in, you see that this re-expression in terms of that this is equal to that V here. Yeah. If you just use the formula, just use this formula in that one and you recover that. Okay. Ignore the factors of e to the 2u and so on. You can see that, for instance, I have e to the minus 12u, which is just 1 over t plus t bar cube. Okay? And similarly, the 1 over, the bigger one is the e to the k. And this obviously comes from e to the k of the complex structure, e to the k of that. Okay. So, if anybody wants to move there, you can.
One last comment is that the web people seem to be a little slow posting Shanta's notes, so I sent it out to a bunch of people, but if anybody, I guess you two, if you would like a copy, you can just nod.
This is not in those notes, I'm afraid.
Sorry?
This is, I have two ways to type a comment. If anybody's interested, that can
rubble touching people.
What?
Rubble-fying Shyama.
Maybe the
I didn't understand words. Huh?
I didn't type words.
Maybe.